Okay, well, as I mentioned earlier, this is a new year, and most people plan for the new year. They kind of look back on what happened in the previous year and start thinking about the new year coming up and making plans. And not a bad idea. Not a bad idea at all for believers who are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ within them. Access to the greatest Word of God available in the Bible here. So we too can set some plans, some vision. And you know who it's a good person to connect with on these kind of duties?
God.
God Almighty, our Heavenly Father. And so I would encourage everybody to have some time with the Father and talk to him about 24 and see what he has in store for you in 24. Does that rhyme or what?
24 hours a
Yeah.
day.
So that would be neat. Be really good to do. So, yeah. When I think about doing this, making plans and what can I do for God? There's two areas that come to my mind, and that the first one is a renewed mind. God's word, I think most of you are aware, encourages us to put off the old man, right, and put on the new man. And you see these comics in the paper sometimes where old man time, he's 2023, he's got a long beard and he's looking to take off, and this little baby with a sash 2024 is starting the new year off. And of course, a lot of the comics now are, this little baby with 2024 is going, no, I don't want to do it. It's too crazy out there. But for us, we've got a connection with our Heavenly Father, don't we?
Amen.
Yeah.
And we've got Christ in us. We've got a lot of resources that we draw on. And God encourages us to renew our mind. So that's one area. And the second area is service. What can I do for God? What does He have me to do in the upcoming months or year here in 2024? So let's take a look at God's word. Let's go to Colossians, and your church epistles, pretty much they all, for the most part, talk about the renewed mind at some point in there, which is the action that we take so that we can walk with power. We used to say the renewed mind is the key to power, didn't we? And it still is in many ways. It really is. So Colossians chapter 3, we're just going to look at this one church epistle in light of the renewed mind. So chapter 3, verse 10, we'll start there. Boy, I'm in Philippians. I'm sorry. There's some good stuff in there too we could look at. But verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed, how? In knowledge after the image of him that created him. So putting on this new man, this Christ in you. And it's renewed. How is it renewed? In knowledge. And that's why we get our head in the book, so that we can see what God has for us and who we are in Christ. So we renew our minds to this knowledge, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. With God, there's no prejudice. Doesn't make any difference what color you are, your background, where you were born, who you were, family you were born into, nothing like that. And of course, our world is so concerned about these matters that they're killing each other. But God, no, not at all. Verse 12, put on as a result of putting on the new man, renewing ourselves after the knowledge of God, and realizing that it's Christ in us all, we put on, therefore, as the elect of God. God voted for you. Holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, patience. This long-suffering is endurance or patience. And these are qualities that we want to put on in our life. These are qualities that God would want us to put on. If we are truly renewing our mind, then we will have this heart of mercies and kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, patience, forbearing, verse 13, forbearing one another, and what? Forgiving one another. If the world would practice one of these principles, like this one of forgiveness, it would eliminate so much of the hate and discontent and killing that we experience in our world today. But forgiveness is huge, huge. And that's something, you know, we got to think about sometimes, where we get a little upset with somebody else, maybe. Well, if we're a believer, what do? We forgive, yeah. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any other, as Christ forgave you, so also do you. So we just, when we remember what God has forgiven us for, it's not that hard to forgive other people for things that are done, right? Verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity. And that's that agape love of God, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And that word rule is umpire. Umpire. Let the peace of God be the umpire. And so many times, again, we allow our personalities and our emotions to rule our lives, when what should be ruling our lives? The peace of God. Mm-hmm. The peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you how?
Richly
in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This is what we do with the renewed mind. And this is should be something that we look at and not only consider, but after considering, doing. Okay? So that's the renewed mind part of our lifestyle, our living. And the other thing I believe that's important in light of setting new goals and expectations for the future is your service. What does God want me to do in the body of Christ? What is my calling in the body of Christ? It says here in verse 15, right, as far as let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. God has called us to this one body. And so we have something that God is working in us that we can do. And when I think about this, I think about on the day of Pentecost, when this Christianity got started, you know, what did these guys do on the first few days of the birth of Christianity? Let's take a look at Acts chapter 2 and see what kind of action they took in light of being born again for the first time with Holy Spirit. And now this whole new way of living is being instituted on the day of Pentecost. Gift of Holy Spirit is shed abroad in their hearts. And what are they going to do? How are they going to live this new lifestyle? And this is what they did on the very, very early church. Let's pick it up in verse 42. Verse 42, chapter 2. And it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship." So the apostles were walking with God, and whatever God was putting on their heart to communicate, they would follow that. Fellowshipping, they'd hang out together, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They ate together. They had eggplant soup and other goodies along with their fellowship, as well as breaking the bread and prayers. They prayed together. And reverence, it says fear in the King James. We know that means reverence, came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. We can have expectations, they certainly did, of great signs and wonders occurring. And all that believed were together, and they had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, you know, they went to the temple, and they also ate together. They went house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They had the same thinking, the same passion of heart. And they were praising God, verse 47, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, this is what they did, and what did God do? He added to the church.
Amen.
He added to the church. I think sometimes if we would do some of these basic things, we sometimes try to, you know, bring people to fellowship and this sort of thing. It's great that we reach out to folks, but God opens a door for people, and he's the one that adds to the church. So this was the beginning of the early church, and these are some of the things they did. Let's take it all the way to the other end, to Timothy. Now, Timothy is one of the reporting later on at the end of these times as far as the church in the first century is concerned. And let's see what they had to say about being called of God and doing the will of God in their lives. So in 1 Timothy chapter 2, let's pick it up in verse 1. "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior." You know, God thinks this is a good thing to do. "For this is good and acceptable." We read that, verse 3. Verse 4, "who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth." This is what God so desires. This is what he would will. And if we, you know, he's our Father, and we want to be in the Father's business. So this could be our will, too, to help people get saved. Mm-hmm. And that's why we share the gospel. That's why we share with people, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Do you believe God raised him from the dead? We help people get born again, saved, through a knowledge of the truth. And this is something that we want to take action on as we serve in the body of Christ. And in 2 Timothy, we'll close here with a few things here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. That's different. Chapter 1. This is chapter 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Paul laid hands on Timothy. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Okay, so we don't have the spirit of fear, but it's one of power, love, and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. You know, if you take a stand for God, you hold forth the word and stand for our Lord and Savior, you might get some negative feedback from people, but that's okay. That's all right. Who has saved us, verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, when?
Before
the world began. So God sure had great vision for us in way back when, didn't he? And so we too now can recognize that holy calling that God is working in our hearts and the purpose by which we stand for him. And so... Now, I wanted to share these verses with you in light of the renewed mind and our service to God and recognizing our calling and what God wills and desires and what God works in your heart to do. And that becomes very personal, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It really does. And these are times that this world certainly needs the word of truth, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ and the word of God that can save them and give them power to live a full and complete life. So, amen and amen on that. I wanted to, as I mentioned earlier, to get some feedback from you. I'm going to stop the recording here.